السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. This Saturday morning, it's time for the program known as Screaming Reels. And like you heard that by Sorry's English Corner. And with us already, alhamdulillah, on the line for today, we have our co-host Adil Mangli, as well as the sponsor of the program, Brother Luqman Mia. First, let us welcome Adil with us on the line. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Munana Sajjad Timur, and to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners on this beautiful Saturday morning.
Alhamdulillah, overcast, and hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with some. Also, we have Brother Luqman Mia with us on the line. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum to Adil and to you, Mawlana, and to all the listeners as well.
Jazakumullah for that, Luqman. You sound, alhamdulillah, very chirpy and happy this morning.
Alhamdulillah, only through the fazal and greatness of Allah.
Alhamdulillah. You're not telling us what is keeping you so chirpy and happy.
We had fishing, obviously, so when you catch fish, you must feel good, yeah?
Tell us more about this.
Moment, Luqman.
Okay.
Are you out fishing at the moment?
No, I wish I was.
You're fishing for customers, though.
Yeah, we first got to fish for them, then we'll fish for the river fish.
Tell us, since the last we spoke, Luqman, have you been out fishing anywhere?
Not on a serious, not serious fishing. We just managed to steal a few minutes here and there and did some fishing, but not on a serious fishing trip now.
Okay.
What sort of products are moving at the moment that are popular at this time of the year?
It's a fair spread across the board, you know, for whichever type of fishing you're doing. So it's not just one or two particular brands or items that are moving. If you're looking at carp stuff, there's the general carp. There's one or two new dips, you know, from Supercast. They've launched two recently. It's not now, but a few months or 2 months ago, they launched two dips, one called Double Trouble and the other one is called Tyson. Those seem to be moving quite well at the moment because it's a new product. You know, generally, anything new people are inclined to get. Then we've got a few new baits on the bass side, and then your salt water, and also on your drop shot or light tackle spinning, there's some nice stuff in. So like I say, it's just evenly spread across. There isn't particularly any one or two products that are moving. It's just guys wanting to up their game, buying different products, buying slightly different color variations or whatever, and that is a way to go. I mean, to catch more fish and more effectively, you got to be up with the latest. And if you want to consistently catch good fish, you got to have the latest gear available.
In terms of maintaining your current gear, do you have a lot of people sort of coming out to the Solid Endless shops and getting you guys to help them put their things basically back into action?
See, we've had, you know, first of all, we've had guys even come with their old tackle box to us, where we got to help the guy sort it out, because most guys, you know, keep it in a mess, it's all mixed up. So we've done it on a few occasions where guys came in with their boxes, we've helped them out, sort it out, what they need, what they didn't need, clean out all the old stuff. And the same goes with your rods and reels and even your line, you know. Guys have brought their rods and reels into us, fixing it, sorting the things out, fixing broken rods, and also re-spooling line. We've got, in all our, most of our branches, we've got a re-spooling machine. So within 5 or 10 minutes, we can have 2 or 3 of your reels spooled up and sorted out with new line.
Look, man, in terms of old tackle, Adil asked, you know, of course, like you say, I mean, as fishermen, going to them, I mean, you're making sure everything is in order. Coming back, you just kind of take your stuff and you're dumping it. But in terms of looking after the reel and the rod and whatever else you have, is there like a service that could be done on them?
What you can do is the most important is, like you said, most people are generally guilty of it. When you get back, like you say, just toss your thing in a corner until the next trip and then start last minute running around. But what you need to do, when you come back from a fishing trip, you're generally very tired and you don't want to do anything. So the ideal thing would be a day or two after your trip is once you've settled down, a bit more relaxed, and the tiredness is gone out, is then to attend to your thing, because fishing tackle is not cheap these days. You know, it's an expensive. If you take a good reel, if you're buying good reels, 1,000 rand upwards, if you're buying good rods, the same thing applies. So a serious fisherman is sitting probably at about 10 or 20 grand just in his rods and reels. And it is value, so you should look after it and make sure that they're all in order, working condition. If it's dirty, just take a normal cloth with a warm water and add some sunlight liquid or something to it and just wipe it down. And then we do sell in a shop tackle cleaning products like CRC or the Spania Tackle Guard. And those are things that you just spray onto your reels, onto your rods. It takes all the muck off easily. If there's a bit of rust, it will take it off. So that's what you want to do, is just give your things a good wipe down, good clean. What the old saying is, some spit and polish, and you're okay. Eh?
You know, Lukman, just on a lighter note, now when you said that there are serious fishermen stuck in a costume in a region of 5 or 10,000 rand, there was a caption one day, you know, people were sitting around on the cell phones, and it had written there that my only fear after I leave this world is that my wife is going to actually know the true value of my fishing tackle.
When they ask us how much did that thing cost?
Well, yes. Let me say 5 or 10,000 rand, that's just minimal. It's not even covering your whole arsenal. Yeah.
Lukman, just a quick question here in terms of the line, because you were talking about respooling the line. Is there a test for me to check? I mean, if I've now not fished for the whole year, to check my quality of my line, if I can still go and fish. I mean, obviously, I don't want to go to the fishing spot, do my first cast, get hooked into a lack of fish, and then next thing you know, it's gone because the line wasn't strong enough. And what sort of, do we still have those kind of lines like in the olden days, I remember, where the lines used to become so brittle?
Lukman, sorry, man, before you actually answer Adil that question there, look, I mean, Adil, instead of checking your line, you need to see your fishing commitment, my brother.
Fishing? You mean not doing enough?
Yeah, not enough.
No, what you need to do is, the easiest and quickest way to check your line is strip about maybe 10 or 15 meters off and just run it through your finger. Run it through your thumb and forefinger, and you'll feel if there's any nicks on your line, you'll actually feel the unevenness of your line. Generally, fishing lines, especially today with the technology that's available in a manufacturing process, your lines are very smooth. On the packaging you'll get, it says silky smooth or smoothness, you know, like you've never felt before, whatever. But what you need to do then is just run it through, and you will feel, especially your line that's constantly in the water and getting frayed against rocks or tree stumps or whatever. So you will feel that the easiest way is just run it through your thumb and forefinger gently, and you'll feel any nick, any bump, any unevenness, you'll feel it straight away. So that's the piece of line that you should actually cut off, is your probably first, I would, generally your first 10 or 20 meters of line that you'll have to just cut it off. But once your spool gets too empty, you don't want it under maybe a millimeter or 2 millimeters from the edge of your spool, because then it starts reducing your casting distance. So line is something you want to make sure it's constantly full, because you'll get better casting distance. So at least if you fish maybe once or twice a season, you'll probably get away with one spool of line for the whole season. But if you fish more regularly, you probably will have to change your line at least once or twice a season.
Mm. Luqman, anything else that you would like to share with our listeners fishing with, Luqman?
One of the species of fish that we rarely speak about, and because not many people do it, it's smallmouth bass fishing. Smallmouth bass is one of the most hardest fighting freshwater fishes. And the reason I say that is last weekend we had the opportunity, like I said, we stole some time and went to fish in a Blider River where they do have smallmouth bass. And we've caught many smallmouth bass before. We used to fish the Orichsta Dam, which is not far from Leidenburg, but most people will know Orichsta. It's close to Pilgrim's Rest, that area. And there's a dam within the Orichsta Nature Reserve. But currently, it's very low. You know, it's the first time we've seen it. It's sitting at about, the last I looked was 2%. And I mean, 2% is not. One of the nicest things about that dam is very scenic within a nature reserve. And it had abundant smallmouth bass. That's where we did most of our fishing for smallies, as we refer to them as smallies. I also remember many years ago we caught some at Ritvlei Dam outside Pretoria. I used to have smallmouth bass. So one of the crucial things when you're looking for smallmouth is first of all identify the river or dam, and you'll find they'll hit most standard bass lures, but on a smaller size, like your grubs work well, your 4-inch or 5-inch grubs are one of your best baits. You'll look at the junior fluke or the normal standard fluke work if you're going to a spinner bait or small. But the most unique thing is when he hits you like you'll think like harder than the brick's going to hit you, you know. And the thing is very acrobatic. Unlike your largemouth, he'll jump 3, 4, 5 times within a short space of time, and a lot of people lose them before. There's also one of the most popular venues. There's two good dams in a Cape, and one, the most common, is the Glen William Dam. So if anybody else wants to try any or different type of fish or bass fishing, is go target smallmouth bass. Just sitting back and thinking about it, it's a very unique experience. It's special to catch them. It is a special fish to target. Yeah.
I think perhaps maybe in weeks to come, Luqman, we can perhaps educate our listeners a bit more on the species and the location and different aspects with regard to it, inshallah.
Inshallah, if we get some time, we'll talk about it.
Luqman, jazakumullah once again for your time. Allah Rabbul Izzah reward you, inshallah, and we say shukran for being a sponsor on this Screaming Reels program.
Always a pleasure. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right, perfect. Adli, we still got another, still got to speak to Brother Firoz and thereafter Muhammad Patel. So, time is going to be running against us. On the line with us, our engineer already indicated we got Brother Firoz Dokra. Firoz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Firoz, assalamu alaikum.
Is Firoz there? Looks like Azadwal lines are a little bit slow today, because this morning also I had a problem. We'll just wait for Ziad to get Firoz back online, and then just a quick intro.
The lines are slow or the lines are bad then, Azadwal?
I don't know if the lines are bad. I don't know, maybe somebody's been taking our line. No, yeah, in Azadwal, Shukar Alhamdulillah, the signal won't go flat. It will actually increase
Alright, let's see, we got Brother Firoz back with us on the line. Firoz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
MashaAllah, that sounds so much better now.
A quick background on Firoz before we get into the actual interview. He's my very, very good friend, my neighbor. He's my survival sati. And Firoz is involved in doing custom-made canvas work. His range of work is huge. He does a lot of work for hunters, for fishermen, you know, in terms of bags, etc. But it also goes even bigger than that. He's done some custom-built canopies and things like that for vehicles, even, you know, a little bit of canvas furniture. So the reason why we got you on the program, alhamdulillah, is Firoz today is sponsoring us with a... Firoz, what do you call it? Is it a tube?
It's a rod tube.
a rod tube. Now, a rod tube, Feroz will tell us a little bit more about that. But like I said, his focus is more on custom canvas. But Feroz, welcome to Screaming Reels. Alhamdulillah, it's a pleasure to have you with us today.
JazakumAllah khair for inviting me on.
You know, earlier on, if you caught a little bit about what we were talking with to Luqman, the focus was on tackle maintenance and care. And obviously, your market, the work that you do, focuses a lot on you know, the gear or the coverings that go on tackle, specifically looking at fishing tackle. Tell us a little bit about the kind of bags that you know. I mean, you're talking about this tube now, so you'll tell us a little bit more about that. Okay. The kind of bags and things that you make for your clients, which helps them to protect the tackle.
Okay, Adil, basically what I do is, a lot of my clients buy expensive items, expensive rods and reels, and they really need to protect these things. I just did recently a rifle case for a customer, and these rifles go up to about 20,000-30,000 rand.
Right.
And to protect it, he wanted something really strong and durable, and something he can carry around in the bush with. So the important thing is that he actually wants to look after his investment.
Right.
And I think that's what all of us should think about when we outdoors. Your tackle, everything takes a huge knocking.
Right.
And I think it's really important just to look after these things.
And listen, this ties up with what we were telling Luqman earlier on, you know, with regard to dumping your stuff when you get back. And I think generally if you have... That's what Feroz is talking about. Yeah, of course, for your rod, it's going to be a tube. For your tackle, you know, a sort of a container for your reel. Even if you're now not going to clean up everything, but if it's going to go back into its place, I think it's going to give you a much better lifespan as well.
Definitely. Definitely. I remember that the only two rods I've ever broken, and I've been fishing since I was like 7 years old, I think the only two rods I've ever broken were just negligence, putting them in car doors and banging them around in the boot. And if I actually looked after those rods and put them in the tube, they wouldn't have broken.
You know, Mulana Sajjad has broken lots of rods also, mashallah. So he knows exactly what you're talking about.
But the Adil said you're going to give me half of your tube. The tip of my rod.
It's basically a hard plastic pipe, and it's got a canvas covering with probably a Velcro or a zipper top where you can put all different size rods in. So I make them in from a 6 foot to fit 2 piece rods from a 6 foot till a 12 or 13 foot rod. And I make them to fit bass rods also, which are very sensitive. And they're very slim line, they can fit about 3 or 4 rods inside.
Okay.
That's basically a rod tube, yeah.
I was basically going to ask you the same thing. Is it's not just for one fishing rod. So you're looking at something that's quite broad.
Quite broad.
The diameter of
some
the pipe
of them are
about how big?
Some of them are 750 mil to about 110 mil.
Okay, so you basically, it's a nice container to keep everything in, put it into the car's boot or wherever, sometimes even on the rod rack that they have on the car, so that you've got everything kept in. Is there sort of like a lining in there as well?
They have lining, some of them come with lining, some of them without,
right.
But I make all mine with linings.
So that you know that the rod is sort of well protected, fitting snug in this rod tube.
Yes.
And
there's foam padding on the top also. So
you can avoid any bumps and knocks and stuff like that.
Yes.
For those in bags as well, I mean, we're looking at maintenance of fishing gear. you get a lot of bags available if you go to the fishing tackle shops. Why do people approach you for custom bags? Well, what's the intention?
The intention is a lot of them just don't find what they're looking for. A lot of the guys that I deal with, they have much more tackle than they can fit in your normal standard tackle bag.
Right.
Or they want somewhere where you can put your reels extra, or they want to put to carry extra things on the side, you know, or extra padding. That's why they would approach me to do custom bags for them.
So, now the big question is, if somebody wants something to get done, is there a sort of a website, or is there a number or something that people can call you on?
They can call me on my cell number at 082-701-4175, or on my website at dogscanvas.co.za.
Just give us that number one more time, Philip.
082-701-4175.
Feroz Dokrat of Dogs Canvas, jazakallah so much for that very, very important information in terms of looking after the gear, and for giving us an idea that there is somebody out there, obviously, that can customize a bag, should we need one.
Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just some very interesting things that have been coming out in today's program, Alhamdulillah, particularly with regards to maintenance of your fishing tackle. We heard Brother Luqman talking about how you basically need to take care and what sort of implements. They've got certain sprays, etc., that they do sell, which you could use to spray on your equipment to keep them lasting longer. And then we've just had an interview with Feroz Dokrat from Docs Canvas. And he was talking about, these rod tubes and these fishing bags, etc., that people sometimes customize because they know the value of their fishing tackle.
Now, we now got Brother Muhammad Patel with us on the line as well. The sauna guys. We can ask him maybe, Adil, there's some spray just for over your boat quickly for maintenance or something like that, like I already said, for everything else. You're like a magic type of a spray.
Looks like there's a spray for, maybe there's a spray also for you to catch more fish. In fact, I saw something like that.
Yeah.
You spray it on your bait and then you throw it in the water.
We need to get that thing now. Okay, first let us welcome Muhammad with us on the line. Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Mulana Adil and all the Radio Islam listeners.
Muhammad, if you hear the discussion, you know, it's just flowing one way today, maintenance, and kind of looking after yourself. Muhammad, tell us your side, how's it been going? Any fishing in the last few weeks, since the last we've spoken to you?
No fishing, Mama. Fishing at home. I wish I was on the water, but my boat's still down. We had a problem with my gearbox the last time.
Sure.
And since then, I just took a back seat because it's quite a costly thing to get sorted out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Also, something that I've seen in the last 2 weeks in terms of purchasing boats, I was quite surprised. People from our area, around our areas, buying boats, want to buy like any boat as long as they're on the water. And they some of the guys have been coming to me and getting my advice in terms of, hey, is this a good boat, bringing the boat to me and stuff like that, you know. And it's very shocking to see, you know, what people regard as a boat that's actually going to float, you know. I had a boat here the other day, and Shukh Malana, it was so bad, I can't even believe somebody could even buy something like that, you know. It's life-threatening, reason being so many tiny holes in the boat, rotten floors, rotten the transom, the part that holds the motor at the back. And that's something I actually wanted to speak about, you know, if we do have time, purchasing a boat and what to look for, because the layman out there doesn't have any idea or some sort of direction into what he's buying, you know. And it's actually quite sad that people would sell others boats like this, not even worrying about their safety on the water. and would they be safe in a boat like this?
You know, the quality of the boat that the person, people are buying out there, what should they look for, basically? Yeah.
Okay. The first thing would be jump inside the boat. You know, it has an inner floor. And just step on the floor and see if there's any flex in the floor. If the floor is basically flexing, you know, that'll be, number one, a telltale sign of a rotten floor. Sometimes not, but that would be a really old design boat. The reason why I'm saying that is because all floors have extremely thick, either marine ply or fiberglass that will give it strength. And the newer type boats have foam. We have this polyurethane expanding foam, which is actually used for flotation aid in a boat. And that is basically fitted underneath this floor, so that gives it even more strength. You know, when you're walking on top, when you're walking on top of the inner floor, you know. So number one would be, you know, jump a bit in the boat. You know, press your foot down hard on the entire floor and see, you know, if that floor is sturdy or does it have a play in it. You know, like I say. In Afrikaans, like they say, beter blank maar binnen stink, you know. I mean, the outside the outside looks good, but the inside is all rotten, you know. And I'll just say that's the first thing. The second thing would be, we use a special device called a ring hammer, but you can take your hand and knock on the back part of the transom, of the boat. It's called the transom. When you knock quite hard all over the transom, you'll see the sound, the knocking sound will either stay constant, or you'll feel it, or you'll hear it will change, it will become like hollow. Now those hollow sounds actually is a sign that you have a rotten transom. Again, saying the transom is basically the rear end, it's the strongest part of the boat that holds the motor. You know, just knock all over there and you'll see. You'll find the difference in sound, knock again, and then you'll say, you know, you'll be able to tell, okay, this area, there's something wrong in this area. It could be delamination of the fiberglass to the wood, depending on the construction of the boat, but 90% of the times you'll get a fairly good indication whether you have a good transom on the boat. I mean, the transom has to be one of the strongest parts on the boat, you know, because it holds the motor.
Yes.
And we have motors ranging, you know, from like 30 kilos height up to 300 odd kilos.
Mm-hmm.
300 odd kilos at the back of the boat, and you have a rotten transom. You know, you're either going to have constant leaks, or eventually one day your motor's just going to fall off, or it might have cracked.
A moment, just one question in terms of it. These type of things that you're talking about, that you're looking for, are these sort of repairable?
They are repairable, Adil, but the biggest problem is the cost to repair those things. To get a transom repaired on an average boat would cost you nothing under 10,000 rand.
Mm.
Just to get the transom repaired. And also depending on what type of transom you're going to have fitted again. Like with us, we don't use any wood in our repairs because I just feel, you know, some stage or the other, you're going to get water creeping in, even from a 1 millimeter hole. It's almost like damp rising on the wall, you know.
Yeah.
The minute you get a wet spot and, you know, slowly it just rises on the wall and blots the whole wall up and softens it, you know. The same with the boat, you know. You have a small hole and it's fine and you're on the water, and 1 year later and you find, oh, God, what happened here? Just, you know, the whole transom is giving way because of that leakage in the transom. So we don't use that sort of materials to construct our transom. We use a full fiberglass construction. But there are a few, tips and tricks to actually have those things, prevent those things. Because I see a lot of people don't have what we call transom savers. Transom saver, it looks like a small pole with a spring on it that attaches to the lower end of your motor, and it presses against part of your trailer. Now what that prevents is, like, imagine having 300 kilos flexing up and down on the back of your boat with nothing to prevent that flex. This is why we buy what we call a transom saver. It saves your transom from actually getting damaged. Now, a lot of people, what will happen is they'll trim the motor, they lift the motor all the way up, and they'll either lock it in that position and they'll drive like that.
And that's really not right, it's not the right way to do it, because you're still going to have that flex, you know, that weighted flex, in other words, causing pressure on the back of the transom, and sooner or later you start developing small hairline cracks and damage at the back of your transom. So very important, go out there and buy yourself a transom saver. They range from about 400 Rand right up to custom one. It'll cost you about 1500 Rand, but I think a plain and simple transom saver would do the job, you know.
So basically it mounts on your trailer.
Yeah,
and, on your trailer, it allows for that shock absorption, basically with the boat on the trailer, you know, not avoiding bumps. But then you're also talking about the weight of the motor, you know, and that movement that sort of creates these hairline cracks.
That's it.
So in all honesty, Maud, you would say you'd rather take out the extra few rands than thinking to yourself, I mean, I'm going to save big money here, and then you're trying to repair and patch and trying to get something done from the boat itself.
Correct, 100%. 100%. I mean, like all these boats that I've seen, I think I've probably seen about four or five of them in the last 2 weeks, all of them rotten transoms about to give away. And if you look at these boats, they look nice, but they are completely rotten, damaged inside, and people don't have a clue. I mean, they're so excited to buy a boat. It's either their first boat, and, you know, they're so overjoyed, I mean, just making the purchase and getting it done with, you know, and they buy something like that, and a month or a year later, and then they're sitting with a very big problem, you know. Another small tip before we finish up is, I think I said this on the show before, I'm not sure, but it would need somebody like myself or any boat shop to do this. Every year or every 2 years, if you can, have the motor removed. We're not talking about disassembling the entire motor. All you got to do is loosen all the bolts, have an engine crane just holding the motor, remove the engine probably about 10 to 15 centimeters away from the transom. Clean up all your mounting holes, check for any signs of damage, and the most important, reseal those holes, put fresh silicone in there so you don't have, you know, the water getting into those holes and into your wood, you know, because the wood construction boats, there's still plenty of companies and boat builders that are still doing wooden transoms in South Africa and abroad, that, you know, I mean, it's like a manufacturer always needs to make money. And that's one of the reasons why they actually put a wooden transom, because they know it has a certain lifespan. You're looking at 2-3 years, sometimes a little longer, depending if you don't pick up that sort of problem. And then after that, you just have rot on the transom because it's a wooden transom. Now with fiberglass, you don't have that issue. Once you do a fiberglass transom, I think it'll last you like forever. I haven't had a crack fiberglass transom since I've been doing boats. So remove the motor, reseal those holes, put more silicone, fresh silicone, make sure it's tightened up again, and it'll keep you going for a while.
Perfect. Mohammed, unfortunately we can't continue. We're going to have to just hold back for today. Quite interesting, I mean, in terms of your boat and what you're looking for, what should you look for? Well, if anybody's going out there and with their boats, if they would like to contact you with regard to purchasing of the boat or perhaps maintenance on it, contact number them for me?
082-689-8000.
082-689-8000.
Yes.
Perfect. And you can put that onto my phone book.
Yeah, I just see that asking at it. Mohammed, Jazakumullah for your time, for the wonderful program, and we hope that you'll join us again soon on the waters and on the airwaves.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Adil.
Is it that time again?
You still there, Adil?
I'm just thinking about how many things I've learned today on the program, screening reels, mashallah. I feel
excellent.
Very good. I learned about the rod tube. You know, I learned about the kind of sprays that you get, which you could spray on the tackle. And of course, I now know what's a transom.
Adil?
Yeah?
Okay, you're still there with us. And you still know that there's still some good mother-in-laws out there still telling their son-in-laws fishing, helping them out. Nonetheless, Adil, it's already time up, time for us to run away today.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana Sir Jatimol, and to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Solly's Angler's Corner, your fishing tackle specialist. Reel'em, hook, line and sinker. Visit our branches in Johannesburg, Fourways, Rustenburg, Pretoria and Vereeniging. Call 011-493-1848 or 011-493-1452. Solly's Angler's Corner, your fishing tackle specialist. Reel'em, hook, line and sinker. Visit our branches in Johannesburg, Fourways, Rustenburg, Pretoria and Vereeniging. Call 011-493-1848 or 011-493-1452.